In every age, God raises people up to speak the truth to the world in a way that is currently relevant. Though our opinions should not be held with the same esteem as the biblical canon, we still carry the hope of Christ to the world. Our society has forgotten what it means to follow Christ. The bright lights of truth seekers are barely visible in the dim twilight of a post-Judeo-Christian society. We all see the darkness coming. All we can hope is to share the light that He has entrusted to us. This is Modern Apocrypha. Hey, I'm Jared.
And I'm Greg.
And this is Modern Apocrypha. Well, and so I wanted to start out with a word on Memorial Day. And this is more just musing than anything else, though it may actually upset people. I don't know. But, you know, it's the same thing with the 4th of July, kind of, and maybe even more so. But we get this thing going on with these holidays that end up being an homage to either our country or to the service members who are part of the country, who fight for the country and fight for freedom, that are sort of, it's sort of difficult for me because I recognize that what people think that our soldiers are fighting for is our freedom and all of the good things that come with America. But that hasn't been true for 100 years. And I have trouble squaring that. Because there's still people fighting and dying for what they believe is that. But really what they're fighting for is the maintenance of the octopus beast's control of the world, the Federal Reserve and its that system's control over the whole world. And they're fighting to maintain that. And that's not our freedom. That's something else.
Certainly. I had the similar situation on this particular holiday, and we're recording the day after Memorial Day in 2024. And a lot of people that were disconnected from the meaning of the day, and was it just another day to drink alcohol and party or have a day off work and that sort of thing. And what occurs to me to think about in this is the line between when Jesus said that, you know, if you're a small, you know, among the small and less powerful, to live your life well in your space. And so for the soldier who's living his life well in the space, it's not his fault that he's being directed poorly, in my mind.
Yeah.
So it's still a thank you for the sacrifice. It's still an understanding of the you could say personality, but the calling of the people that are called to, you know, provide protections, whether they're misused or not is, you know, again, up to their directing officer, right? The powers that be.
Thinking about that, I'm going to take that back to a degree. There is some responsibility that we all bear for what we choose to put our life into. And the fact that I know that all American service members are serving the cabal that is the deep state. That is what they're serving. They're serving the interests of the American empire and the deep state. That's what they fight for. And they choose to serve with other things as their intentions, but with the actuality of what they're doing being that. And so I agree. And here, I ought to go here real quick, because I don't want anybody to think that I don't appreciate the sacrifice that people have made for my freedom. I do. But I am genuinely conflicted over this darkness that we as Americans have spread across the world in the form of this horrible, tyrannical regime that sucks all the value out of the world and puts it into America because of having the world reserve currency, because it is a fiat currency, because of all the things that we do. America is a study in contrasts. On the one hand, the ideals that we believe in are the best ideals that any country in the history of the world has stood up for, other than maybe ancient Israel, who were directly answerable to God. We have the best ideals that we stand for, but at the same time, what we actually end up promoting is really, really dark. And the more you look at it, the darker it gets. The more you understand it, the darker it gets. All you have to do is go listen to about a half an hour of Mike Benz talking about, the CIA and that apparatus and all the things that have gotten, that America has created to subjugate the world, which is what we've done. And it gets, I mean, it's almost enough to black pill you, that alone. And that's just difficult for me to.
In this space, we've got plenty of history to pull from for ourselves. In the aftermath of the atrocities and the terrible things that happened in World War II, people came back and they were celebrated for it, and it made for the world we live in today. And then following something like the Vietnam War, those people, those soldiers were sent in and fought their hardest and did the same thing that those soldiers in World War II did. They just had different leaders and different, media around them in the moment. So when they came home, they received, a terrible life, right? They weren't.
Yeah. They were hated for serving their country. And that's a terrible thing.
Well, and to think that that doesn't trickle down to the way that their nurses cared for them and the way their doctors cared for them and the way that they lived, able to live like the rest of their countrymen, right, despite having followed orders and not given orders. I don't know. This one, to me, feels like it's such a blaming the lowest rung on the ladder for what the highest rung on the ladder has decided to do.
Well, and don't misunderstand me. I'm not blaming them at all. And I suppose that's probably what's coming across. So let me actually clarify. What I'm saying is that what Memorial Day does for me is it brings home to me the utter tragedy of the whole situation, of these good people, some of whom I actually know, some of whom I've been related to, some of whom I genuinely care about, laying down their lives or spending their lives or, using their lives to support this thing that is an evil thing. And what they're trying to do is a noble thing. And I honor the fact that they are willing to do that. But at the same time, what they're actually doing is a tyrannical thing. And so the enemy has managed to turn the noblest of intentions to the most terrible of purposes. And I am just overwhelmed with just grief and darkness at the whole thing.
Interesting. I take a tack of it. It's not the end of the story. We're in chapter 30 of 1,000 or whatever. And so it is a step in the process. Something that did actually happen in ancient Rome is the greatest of soldiers were given plots of land and, a retirement, a American dream, if you will. And what had happened is that over time they became more and more corrupt, and those people that were the best of them got sent away to war and came back to find their homesteads, their ranches, taken by the worst of society because they were willing to lie, cheat, and steal to get the land that was given to the most honorable of their people. And I feel like that it's not per se that the military men are doing something right or wrong. It is that the overall American experience is going to cause effect, ruin itself with the way it's acting.
No question of that. And what I'm getting at here is that we have this holiday that is intentionally set aside to honor the sacrifice of service members in the American military. And I am just conflicted about the whole thing because of what it is the American military serves. I don't have a specific problem with those individuals, though. Find me a force in the modern world that does more actual evil than the American Federal Reserve and the darkness it spreads across the whole world. You can't find a group of people or person that does more total harm than the American Federal Reserve and the American monetary system. And that is what the American military is serving. And I'm including all of the horrors that are going on in places like China, where they have huge groups of people in concentration camps. I know all of that. I'm looking at all of that. And I just, the whole thing is just hard for me. So I'm not, and let me just reiterate, I am not pointing a finger at service members specifically. I just have a hard time with the whole thing.
It's an interesting concept. It takes a perspective that it is our responsibility, our purview, our authority to do things in places that we don't have authority. So Does America have the authority to go into Rwanda and stop half the population from killing the other half? I would hope yes, but at the same time, if you take those steps, then is that the evil that you're stepping in and taking away their sovereignty, right? Is it the fault of the government of Rwanda for the killings that they're doing, or is it all of the fault falls on America because we happen to be the strongest?
And by the same token, can you blame people like, for example, there's this whole thing about punching Nazis. I saw something on my Twitter just the other day about someone who was in the SS, who never fired his weapon in the war, who was basically sent to some sort of station somewhere off in the boonies, ended up passing the war at that station without ever having engaged in anything, serving his country honorably. But he was in the SS, so a lot of people in America, because he was a Nazi and he was in the SS, would have considered him totally an evil human being. And yet, you know, when we look at what we're doing right now, how do you even square all of that? And I can't make those judgments, and I am not judging any person who is serving in the U.S. military. I'm just distraught over the whole mess. That's where I fall on it. And frankly, you know, so anybody who wants to argue with me, feel free to come onto Twitter and yell at me, Modern Apocrypha. You're welcome to. I will have the conversation. And if you want to rebut me, you know, you can come on the podcast even. We'll have you on as a guest. But
dude, I'm not dreadfully familiar with the time period around Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X, but they're two different sides of a argument arguing the same thing. What in your mind would be the, you know, the militant Malcolm X side of the argument that we shouldn't allow these things versus the Martin Luther King should do the best possible that you can? That in my mind, we need soldiers, we need to keep, you know, other people's soldiers out, right, and controlled, and we need to honor those people that would give their life to such a task.
Yep.
So honoring the idea in Memorial Day would be one thing. Is a separate discussion about the failings of hitting the mark, right? Where are your sins, right? Where are your failings?
You know, this is one of those situations where, you're talking about should. And we don't have should. We have is. To get from what is to what should be is an impossible gulf in our situation because of powers and principalities in spiritual wickedness in high places that we are battling. If we can... The should is something that is a distant, it's a pipe dream, man. I'm just heartbroken over the situation that is. I don't disagree with you on the should.
On the is, for what is presently, is the appropriate constitutional military 50 militias that work independently and then have much less international presence is something like the national military against our law.
You're doing a should again.
No. I'm saying constitutional is not about should. It's about legality.
No, it isn't. It's about, because legality has to take into account the situation on the ground. Right now, the American Empire is, it has its tentacles in everything. We have 30, 40,000 soldiers on the ground in Germany today. We have 20, 30,000 people on the ground in Korea today. We have a similar number in Japan. We have a standing military presence in dozens to hundreds of countries across the world right now today, which means asking the question of whether what is going on is constitutional, whether it's legal, is silly, because changing what is to what should be, even if it is illegal, that's still a should be, because it isn't, and there's no way to get there.
Well, the way to get there is to recognize the shoulds and then harp on them, saying people shouldn't go that way and you're not doing what you should. And those things do tend to appropriately push people in a direction they want to go without the whiplash of tyranny.
In that case, we need to be agitating for the end of the American Empire and the ceasing of our attempt to exert our will over the world and to create the world order. And that probably will irritate a lot more people too, because there are a lot of people who think that America is the best force in the world and that our empire is to the good. But the reality is what we've done has all been essentially illegal. It has been very underhanded. And if you look at the tactics we've been using for the last 100 years, it's basically just large scale manipulation. And so at some level, those means are always going to be a problem. Anyhow, I know we have another topic you wanted to talk about here. You want to save it for after the break? And
we should, yeah.
So, finishing up this topic, I guess my thoughts in a nutshell would be, as far as Memorial Day goes, are that I do honor those people who have chosen to sacrifice for my freedom, and I appreciate them. On the other hand, I grieve the fact that so many American men and women have given up so much of their lives, not even just died for, but given up big, huge chunks of their lives to serve a system that has basically become just the emperor. It is the American Empire. That's what they're serving. They're serving.
It strikes me, this just came to mind, that Jesus Christ, walking the earth, fellowshipped with and had great commonality with some Roman legionaries, and those would be equivalents to modern day soldiers.
Yeah.
And then, again, something to be said for the common soldier doing what he's told.
Well, and
appropriate.
And again, you have to understand, Greg, we're just... Well, then again, what were the soldiers who served on the front lines for Nazi Germany just doing what they were told where they was what they were doing honorable? Because
I think that at the beginning of the war, if you were a tank commander and you were in charge of a blitzkrieg and you performed your task, you know, with like clockwork, your place of doing your job correct is seen by God as correct. Your leader putting you on the wrong path is not your fault.
And I can't help but think that if I were to go into the military and I were to engage in serving my country, knowing what I know, that God would hold me responsible for some of the damage that America does because I know better.
So when Jesus went to the man who said that this man has been put here so that I can heal him to prove a point, right? Then how do we say that our appropriate moments, whether we are serving on either side of a military that then joins up on Christmas to sing carols on opposing sides to make a point for God, right? That's bigger than either side of the war, right? You couldn't do that without the soldiers doing what they're supposed to do to be there. Right. So I feel like this is a bit of a fate versus free will question. And that certainly in your place, you're expected to do the right thing in your place. Right. That every level, you're not excused from being oblivious and just doing what you're told. But doing what you're told is often the correct thing to do in that position also. Right. It's a very difficult place for a soldier to be because you have given up your free will to some extent in the process of a professional military, which would have been the same as those people accepted by Jesus Christ in his day, because there's very little military.
You know, you're throwing up something of a straw man there, and I can't let it stand.
Okay.
Saying that Jesus encountered and loved these people who were Roman legionnaires, who were Roman soldiers, is true, but that doesn't mean that he necessarily approved of the way they lived, what they were doing, any of that, that he spoke to any of that. Because you have to remember, every single human being is sinful. Every single human being is screwing up. Every single human being has all kinds of issues, and Jesus loves us anyway. So to say that parallel that you're drawing there is just false. There's no value to it.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that the parallel would be that being a military person accepting Christ into your heart will be the protection you need to do your job well, as opposed to anybody anywhere under any job not accepting Christ into their heart will do a poor job.
Well, and I think that you have, you know, there's something valuable that you're saying there. It's like what Jesus said about those who are slaves shouldn't seek to change their position just because they've come to Christ. That was what I think Paul said that actually, but you get the idea. That the idea is that you don't change your station in life just because you've come to Jesus, but that the way you act in your life will change based on Jesus being in your life. And then you get guys who went into the military and when they were drafted, like back in World War II or Vietnam, and they felt that they could not do violence to other people, that it would be wrong for them. And the movie Hacksaw Ridge was about a guy like that who saved lots and lots of lives because he followed his conscience. And so I think that you're right at some level.
That entire group of men, it's an interesting story because they were not young recruits. They were some of the oldest men in the military. They could not be controlled in the way a young soldier might. They had their worldview baked into everything they did. And so you had the gentleman that didn't carry a rifle and saved 60 men in a battle, lowering them down the cliff. Boy, you know, the Hacksaw Ridge story. But every single man in that group killed more than anyone else, saved more than anyone else, walked further than everyone else, did more than everyone else, because they had Christ in their heart.
Well, and I guess what I'm saying is that at an individual level, people are going to have to live their consciences. And I'm not trying to
let that go. Don't stop living your conscience. Don't let a government or a colonel break your conscience.
Right. But you know what? You're kind of running me over here. So what I'm saying, though, is that, yes, we all have to live our consciences. But in my case, I'm not trying to dictate anyone else's conscience. And I'm not trying to call anyone evil. I'm not trying to criticize anyone. All I'm doing is saying that I find the whole situation to be just awful. And I don't know how to, I don't know what to do with it. You know, for one thing, I can't say the Pledge of Allegiance. That would be immoral for me. I can't do it because what America stands for is not what a lot of people think it stands for. The reality on the ground is that America is creating a really, really horrible situation in a bigger way than any other country in the world. But, you know, God help me, most people absolutely hate you for saying stuff like that because they have elevated America to this, to an unhealthy level in their minds where they see it as, it's actually an idol for some people. Genuinely, it is.
And it's also human nature. I can pull apart something like Obama saying the words, "You didn't build that, right? You need help. And everything you do, everything we do is done as a group project. You've written a book. You know that in the process of that, you realize that you're not the only person that's building that world. It just happens to be that you're the name on the title, just like as a business owner, your name is the name of the owner of the business." And yet conservatives blow up at anybody on the opposite side saying something that's obviously true. I feel like this is people not liking hearing something that goes against, right, the way they've heard it before.
Not just that, going against things that they hold as very high values or that they're very emotionally attached to. And then they demonize you for disagreeing or for having a perspective that's different. And, you know, I I'm not throwing rocks at anybody here. I just find the whole situation really horrible. And Memorial Day brings that to the forefront of my mind every time.
Well, I would hope that Memorial Day would, for everyone, every time, remember those people that have been sacrificed. A sacrifice is sad. That's not a good thing. We should work to prevent that, right? It's not a good thing that we've lost 10,000 men. It's not a good thing, right, for any number. It is always, we've messed up to get to this point. How do we fix it? That's the point in my mind. Both thank you for your sacrifice, but also how do we make sure that doesn't happen again?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And you know, there are a whole lot of things that sort of, a whole lot of rabbit trails that sort of come up on that. But we're getting to the point of taking a break. Should we do that real quick?
Yeah, we'll take a quick break and then I have another topic I'd like to look at as well.
Absolutely. All right, we'll be back.
Back in a minute, guys.
Brightstar has been out for over a month now. I just want to say thank you to everybody who has helped make it the success that it already is. I've got a huge plans for the future. Great things going on, working on the audiobook, working on the anthology, working on book two. Everything's moving along. Just thank you, everyone. If you don't have a copy yet, you should grab one. Head over to e6universe.com. Use the promo code Israel for 10% off.
I'd like to take a moment to thank all the people enjoying Modern Apocrypha. As many of you can see, I'm an avid coffee drinker, and I've been drinking North Arrow Coffee for a couple of pounds now. You can find North Arrow Coffee at northarrowcoffee.co, all one word, where they list coffee of the month and how green coffee is handled. I've been enjoying some of the number 4 Honduras and some of the number 10 Peru, available at northarrow.co. If you'd like to help support us even more, you can use discount code E6 for 10% off your coffee order today. Thank you.
And we're back.
Welcome back, everybody.
So, we wanted to get into entertainment.
Right. This is something, a topic that I heard spoken of through podcasts. The secular world is having a discussion about it. And it's generally the concept of, is there a natural good, therefore a natural evil, that would be around entertainment? Is entertainment a net bad thing for humans to support in their lives?
Interesting. And you'd pointed to a particular little link I'll include it in the show notes or whatever. You know, as far as the way the secular world looks at things, I don't even know that I relate to the views that people like Weinstein have enough to even agree or disagree. I just think that when you get to somebody who still believes in something like evolution, he's an evolutionary biologist, they're usually so far out in the weeds that trying to have any kind of rational relationship between their thought process and mine is difficult.
It is difficult. Certainly the translation of meaning is difficult across even the same language. And that was kind of the end all be all that I'd come to as the answer to the problem of, what do you even call entertainment? When we attend church every Sunday, is that somebody's entertainment, right? If I'm trying to think of Elon Musk spending an hour in a podcast that makes him $1 million, is it entertainment? It's not the work that he would normally be doing.
Yeah, it's a question. I mean, there are plenty of people who try to bring information to other people. It's like you and I, you know, we sit here, we do this podcast. We're not really trying to create entertainment so much as to actually talk about topics that are useful topics. And, you know, that's a...
Is there, honestly, I'm asking, this is a real question, is there a difference between play and the NFL or a gladiator in the Colosseum? Right? For somebody that's a professional athlete, a professional entertainer, right? These things certainly blur the line of the concept of what I would think of the word entertainment, which is giving yourself a rest from fighting to progress, right? Your rest of Sunday is kind of a definition of entertainment.
Well, you know what the word entertainment means, right? It's the occupation of the mind with things that are not of consequence.
And is the day of rest on Sunday a relaxation of thought, or is it thinking about something else?
Yes.
If you were to take it in a, oh gosh, mantra, praying, what's the word I'm looking for?
Not sure.
Meditation.
Ah.
So if you were in a meditative state, that would be a thinking of nothing Sunday. And that would... Mm. But is meditation entertainment? I mean, again, if it's not making...
You know, I guess what I would say is that what we find about Sunday is that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And for 6 days, he created. And then on the seventh day, he rested, right? So he rested from his work. So when we have work and we rest from it, it doesn't mean that we're not doing anything necessarily, but it does mean that we are doing something where we don't have to push ourselves into the same sort of, we don't have to work as hard at what we are doing, something like that. Now, there is, when it comes to entertainment, you know, there are also these gradations. I let my kids watch some cartoons, but when it comes to a lot of the most stupid YouTube videos. Imagine the stupidest YouTube videos you can think of somebody doing something just kind of icky and weird to their kid or something, you know. I don't let my kids watch that. I don't find that to be entertainment. I find that to be some kind of twisted spectacle. Like you brought up gladiators versus professional athletes. You know, I actually think that I have issues with the extremes to which we've taken professional athletics in our world, but I think there is a place to be a professional athlete. I think there is a place to be a professional entertainer. Now, I can play the devil's advocate here. I know I brought up, when we started talking about this topic, I brought up Smith Wigglesworth. And for anybody who doesn't know who Smith Wigglesworth is, he was a Christian evangelist and you would call him a teacher back a few hundred years ago. I don't know exactly when, but I read a book by him or about him. I think it was actually about him and not by him when I was young. And in passing, I noted that he said that he did not take in any kind of entertainment. He just, scripture was his only intake. And it was because anytime he did anything else, it just opened a way for the enemy to get into his brain and to get it to mess with his thoughts. And I find that to be interesting. I don't think that I agree that's how we should all be, but I do think that our entertainment should point back to the Lord, that our entertainment should have value in it as well. So
here's a weird one.
Yeah.
Let's assume that I'm a professional athlete back in the day. I kill people with my copper sword, you know, in the arena, and that's my job, and I'm equivalent of a millionaire in the era. And for entertainment, I go to a farm and I put some seed in the ground. It's not, doesn't make me money, it doesn't, right, it doesn't support my family, it's not increasing my fame on the world, but I find it entertaining to plant. The farmer plants all day, every day, and for entertainment, he goes to the Colosseum to have a break from his daily drudge. The action is the same action, but for one person it's work and for one person it's entertainment.
Well, I mean, you know, there is the thing where a lot of people I know like to grow gardens and they don't do it for entertainment exactly. They do it for something that is edifying, that is productive, but is also relaxing for them. Like I have an uncle who is dear to me who does that. He plants stuff in the ground and he enjoys it. It's entertaining to him, you might say, to grow a garden, or it's restful and engaging to him to grow a garden. I don't know if the word entertaining is appropriate. By the same token, though, you know, for me, what entertainment is a lot of times, it's playing a computer game. But the computer games that I play aren't the easy, oh, you click on this and that and click on that and whatever. It's the computer games I like to play are more complex than most people would find anything other than drudgery. I mean, most people would have to work hard to do this computer game. For me, it's relaxing and interesting, and that's just the way my mind works. I like doing that. So yeah, we're all different. We all have our different interests and our different, the different things that engage us and that we like. I do think that there is an interesting discussion to be had here, though. In you're talking about the Colosseum, you know, the Colosseum is something that early Christians swore off. And that was actually one of the things that got them persecuted, was not being willing to engage in the popular entertainment. And it was because, I mean, there were all kinds of excuses that were made about it, but the reality is the early Christians were persecuted because the spiritual powers and principalities didn't like them very much. But the reality is not engaging in the popular entertainment is part of what set them apart from the world and made them holy. It made them different. It made them a people set apart to God for God. And does that mean that they didn't do things among themselves that were engaging to their minds, that were rest from their labor? Sure they did. Of course they did. We all do. That's a human thing. We all need it. If we don't do that, we go crazy. Even the most workaholic people I've ever known took time for a beer or a cigar or, you know, a good meal or what have you. They took their rest at times.
And this brings me to where I ended up in the concept of entertainment or no entertainment. Anything that we seem to have this impossible to breach fuzziness about, it comes down to me to picking a tyranny, picking a rule, picking something that we're going to agree on, right? And the one that struck me as the appropriate answer would be something like the tyranny of language. You don't get to pick what words mean. We agree words mean this, and therefore it allows us to communicate based on that agreement and move forward. This thing is considered entertainment, and this thing is not, right? This thing is acceptable or not, as opposed to where we are now, where even a simple word becomes a complex idea like entertainment.
You can't. Well, and I guess that to me, the proper way to divide this, and I'll just jump to it if you like. I should have looked this up, but I didn't actually remember before we started. I actually would have looked it up. I think it was Wesley, John Wesley, who asked his mom, what is sin? And it was one of the best answers that I've ever come up with. Sin is something that, instead of refreshing you toward reaching the goals that God has put in front of you, distracts you from them or pulls you up short of them and makes it more difficult for you to reach them. What refreshes you and renews you in the pursuit of the work that God has for you is not sinful. It is good. And what stops you and draws you back is sinful. And so let me just use my life as an example. There have been times when computer games have been sinful for me, where I have let them consume too big a portion of my life. But by the same token, today, I don't have that same problem, where today, most of the time when I play games, it's because it is a refreshment for me and I'm able to keep them in their proper place. And that has become a good thing in my life. It has become a refreshment rather than something that is a distraction. And the same can be true of any activity that we undertake, whether it's Netflix or sports or exercise, hiking, you name it, hunting. I know a guy who was a hunter who hunted in, you know, like 40 plus states for his preferred game. And this guy was one of the best at hunting his particular type of game. And it became an idol in his life. It wasn't even just a distraction. It became an idol in his life to go hunting. So you can turn anything into a distraction. Using the word entertainment basically is something to occupy your mind with. The idea of distraction might originally have been baked in, but in the modern world, it isn't. The way we use the word now is more along the lines of something that I do for fun and refreshment, and it can spill over into something that's negative, but it isn't necessarily, right? That seems fair.
It does. It feels to me like if you never took any entertainment, any break for yourself, then you would be breaking the rest on the seventh day expectation.
Well, and this is where I think carrying the word entertainment a little too far is not necessarily a good thing, because I don't think you have to use entertainment to rest. I think you can rest. I don't think that reading the Bible is entertainment. I don't think that planting a garden is quite entertainment. I don't think that spending time with my kids, you know, talking with them about important things, learning about their lives, whatever, I don't necessarily think that's entertainment, but it is still rest from my labors. You know, today I was hanging sheetrock. That's what I was working on. I tried doing some writing. I had some other administrative stuff to get to. That was all my work. I got done with my work and I came to do this with you. This isn't exactly work, but it's also not exactly entertainment. It's a change of pace and it's positive for me, but I don't think I would call it entertainment. Entertainment is something that is specifically to engage your mind with, that is, it may be restful, it may be whatever, but it is an engagement of your mind for fun and gratification of something. There's a fun connotation to it.
It's an interesting concept. I still come back to the tyranny of language, and we can't even agree on what entertainment means unless we can agree right up front what that's going to be. And then other things like rest, entertainment, excess, right? These other things will fall after we've picked our language. We haven't.
But Greg, I told you what entertainment means. I'm the authority, right?
I didn't agree to that. So the listening to us doesn't have the opportunity to agree or not, right?
Well, and I don't disagree with you exactly on this. I think that actually, this is an interesting point. You keep for years now, you have kept coming back to this sort of tyranny of language concept. And I don't know that I actually necessarily, I don't see it quite the same way you do. You know, I think that communication with words like entertainment is usually, for most people, it's a best effort to get at a concept that so that both people can sort of have understanding between themselves, right? Where there are people who use language as a weapon, but most of the time when people are doing that, well, number one, I don't associate with people who do that regularly, especially people who lawyer with their language. I don't associate with them much, and I will call them down on it when they try to use language as a weapon. And if they continue in that, I will actually get rather forceful about my opposition to that, because I don't find it to be an acceptable way to approach things. If we're not trying to reach a mutual communication goal when we're talking with each other, then we're doing something wrong, man. That's not an okay way to treat other people. And you agree with me on that one.
I do.
So when it comes to entertainment, me telling you what I understand it to mean, you know, you understand what I mean now, and we can talk about the subject. That doesn't mean that you and I will always agree on the meaning of the word, but at least we've come to kind of an understanding about what it means. It's an interesting little rabbit trail.
For sure. I would put or pose one more topic of thought in the space of entertainment. You had brought up that certainly Christians of the era boycotted the death games because they saw that as a net evil that they didn't want to expose themselves to.
Yeah.
We have similar things right now with the entertainment of adult entertainments, right? Skin games and whatnot that people play. And whether or not.
Well, or there are still blood sports that people engage in today too, that are not great, right?
Oh yeah. Very terrible. Everything from the blood sport of animals and humans both exist. And then on top of that, the sex games being so just terrible for the societies that engage in them in any way, making or consuming.
Yeah.
That seems like it's been put in a place of entertainment when it should be put in a place of poisons.
I mean, you're right. And that is a critical concept. I'm not sure exactly what to say about it, though. You know, it's like in any endeavor that humans engage in, we can either move toward things that are godly or toward things that are not so godly. And when we're moving toward the things that are not good things, whether it's the blood sports or the skin games or the whatever you want to call them, or there's another one. I remember I've read books that were intended to leave people feeling awful. Okay. And that is not a good thing before God. Reading a book to leave you feeling bad is not really a good thing. Reading something that is just absolutely twisted in order to get that sensation of the mind, you know, getting your mind twisted by something, that's not really a great thing to do. So in anything we do, we can move away from what God has done into destructive things, or we can move toward things that are positive, that are uplifting. Even things that are competitive in general can often reach a place of being not good, because competition itself isn't necessarily bad, but taking it past a certain point, past the level of a game into something that is not a game, is fraught. It's a dangerous area.
I would postulate that it does not matter if it's a game. I've been a part of large-scale games, and they are fraught with just as many sins and pitfalls as games that have the ultimate price. If I'm going to play a game and I'm going to die if I lose, or if I'm just going to lose face, the way that people play that game is the same.
Well, and I guess that's what I'm getting at, is when I play games with my kids, we play for fun. We play, you know, there are still winners and losers, but the objective of the game is not to damage each other or to come out on top. It's not a selfish objective. It's to spend time with the other people in a quality way and to have fun together. And when that's the objective, that's fine. When the objective becomes a selfish one of, it's me over that person over there, that is dangerous, and that can easily turn into something bad. You understand what I'm saying? That God looks on the heart, and a lot of times when your heart changes, that's when you have a problem.
Oh, it's interesting that you say that. You've got quite a bit of experience, greater even than mine. My kiddos are a bit older, but not so numerous. And I would say I never played a game with my kids. Never. I sat down to Monopoly. I sat down to Magic the Gathering. It's a card game. I've gone through the process of many games, and never once was I at the level with my children. I was there to watch what they were doing, make sure they were doing it correctly, and positively and appropriately change their behavior so that they understood the game. They understood the social cues of the, so that they weren't bratty in the moment. So I was not in a game with peers. I was the authoritarian judge of everyone's character in the moment to make sure everyone was playing according to the rules that, quite frankly, I was putting in place. I read the
well,
rules.
And you know, there is always that part of being a parent, that part of you is always there until your kids are grown. And I don't know about beyond that, because mine aren't there yet. But I tell you this, there are games I play with my kids. There's one in particular that comes to mind. It's called King Domino. And it's a little tile game where you build a little, you have these tiles and you build a little thing in front of you that is made up of these land of swamp or this or that. And at the end of the game, you count up your points. And the game is simple enough that a six-year-old can play it effectively, but it's engaging enough and there's enough strategy that you don't master it until you hit your early teens. Okay, so my 12 and 14 year old have pretty well gotten to the point where they can play it very effectively now. They understand the strategy behind it. So when it comes to playing it with my 6-year old, I now he's 7. I play it with him and his siblings, and for him it's a learning experience. But for his siblings, for his older brother and sister, I am actually playing the game with them. They agreed to those rules before we played. I don't have to hold them accountable to them. We are actually doing it just to spend time with each other and enjoy each other's company. And so in a sense, I'm still not their peer. You know, if there's a fight that breaks out or an argument or whatever, I'm the dad. I'm going to deal with that. But I am still playing it with them in a peer-like fashion where we're both engaging at the same level of expertise and strategy, and we're both enjoying it. And by the end, I don't know who's going to win. There's a bunch of luck involved too. It may be one of them. It may be me. Either way, I will have enjoyed spending time with them. There is a winner and a loser, but I don't have any emotional attachment to winning, and I'm not trying to beat them. I'm just trying to spend the time with them and to, you know, I am trying to win the game, but it's mostly because that's the objective that you're going for. It's not because it's me over them. Where back when I used to play Dota a lot, man, I had a really, really terrible attitude, and I treated people so badly. It's actually one of my bigger regrets. If I have regrets, it's the way I acted toward people who I played computer games with online for a lot of years, because I said things to them that I'm going to have to answer to God for, and I'm not looking forward to it, man. I said some really awful things to those people because, you know, it usually wasn't because they were winning. Usually it was because they were jerks, but it's the same thing. It's because I got myself emotionally invested in the game and it was me over them. And that was a destructive thing. That competition was not good.
It certainly can create expectations out of your teammates that are unfounded sometimes. anything else on that particular topic that you wanted to hit? I had one more thing on entertainment that I wanted to hit before we ran out of time.
Let's do it.
Okay, so the last thing that I would put up there as the discussion of entertainment or anything that we discuss as Christians, it should be taken with this is for your own good. We present this as what we see is true. We don't present this as the law that we're going to come and punish you over. And I don't see that out of a discussion between the podcasters, the secular world. It becomes a question of, should we make this law? Should we do something, right, that's not suggesting what's best for people? It's creating another pivot point that's going to cause harm, not just explaining the good for people.
That'd be a really good topic, is freedom, and what does freedom mean? Because our conception of freedom as Christians is totally different from a conception of freedom that's secular. It's totally different.
Perhaps we'll do that next time. But on that topic, as you hear people discuss, whether it be gay rights or women's rights and transgender topics or entertainment or, you know, technology's expansion, right? As we discuss these things, most often we're not discussing what the good or bad thing to do is. We're discussing some kind of legal creation, right? So the creation of a law, it seems to be the discussion point, not how do you use this appropriately.
How can we enforce our opinion on other people and make them live the way we want them to? That's what the secular approach is.
And the appropriate approach is win, and they will want to follow you.
Well, the appropriate approach is something entirely different. And actually, that's what we ought to discuss in some other episode. But very interesting discussion, very good discussion. And again, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you for bearing with me on my own. You know, this is one of those things where our first discussion about Memorial Day, I am just genuinely conflicted. I don't know what to do with the subject. So I appreciate people bearing with me, and thinking that through, you know. And then the entertainment one is an interesting one.
Such a strange one, again, because the idea of hard coding something down as opposed to thinking about it in a way.
You know? Yeah.
And the same thing with Memorial Day, you know, to the individuals that provide the sacrifice, thank you. And you know, there's something divine in that. To those that are misusing those divine tools, God'll handle it.
Well, I certainly don't know what to do with it. Anyhow, thank you, everybody, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks, everyone. God bless.